Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
There's a story in Exodus 24, I believe, which I want us to turn to. If you've got your Bibles, I think I've got it up here as well. And it's a story where what God gives the tablets or the law to Moses. And just for some background, chapters, I think, 19 to 24, there's a preparation that's taking place. God has to warn Moses, Moses, I'm coming. And prepare yourself, wash your clothes, washing day and all of that is actually there. But nevertheless, they had to prepare themselves for an encounter with God, what God was about to do. So let's read together. By the way, before we read, let's just pray for a moment. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Father, the scripture that comes to my mind is what Paul said, that my speech and preaching with this morning would be with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, Father, so that our faith would not be in men, Father, but in So, Father, we thank you for your word. It's like a two-edged sword this morning that cuts and discerns, Lord, even between soul and spirit this morning. Joints and marrow, we thank you. Bless this word. Amen. Then the Lord instructed Moses, verse 1, come up here to me and bring along Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of Israel's elders. What a beautiful invitation. Come up here. All of you must worship from a distance. Only Moses is allowed to come near to the Lord. The others must not come near, and none of the other people are allowed to climb up the mountain with you. Then Moses went down to the people and repeated all the instructions and regulations the Lord had given him. All the people answered with one voice, we will do everything the Lord has commanded. Notice that, we will do everything the Lord has commanded. Then Moses carefully wrote down all the Lord's instructions. Early the next morning, Moses got up and built an altar at the foot of the mountain. He also set up 12 pillars, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent some of the young Israelite men to present burnt offerings and to sacrifice bulls as peace offerings to the Lord. The way Bri is biblical, that you just saw there. Moses drained half the blood from these animals into basins. The other half he splattered against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it aloud to the people. Again, they all responded, we will do everything the Lord has commanded. We will obey. Notice that, because we'll see why I'll be coming back to that. Now listen, this now gets very interesting. Church is becoming very exciting here. Then Moses took the blood from the basins and splattered it over the people. Just imagine that for a moment, having church. Okay, I couldn't help to notice that. It was a lot of blood. Thank God we're living in these days. Anyway. Declaring, look, this blood confirms the covenant of the Lord has made with the covenant the Lord has made with you in giving you these instructions. Then Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel climbed up the mountain. There they saw the God of Israel. They saw him. Under his feet there seemed to be a surface of brilliant blue lapis lazuli, as clear as the sky itself, beautiful. And though these nobles of Israel gazed upon God, he did not destroy them. In fact, they ate the covenant meal, eating and drinking in his presence. Then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain. Stay here and I will give to you the tablets of stone on which I've inscribed the instructions and commands so you can teach the people. So Moses and his assistant Joshua set out and Moses climbed up the mountain of God. Moses told the elders, stay here and wait for us until we come back. Aaron and Hur are with you. If anyone has a dispute while I'm gone, consult with him. Then Moses climbed up the mountain and the cloud covered him. And the glory of the Lord settled down on Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from inside the cloud. To the Israelites at the foot of the mountain, the glory of the Lord appeared at the summit like a consuming fire. And then Moses disappeared into the cloud as he climbed higher up the mountain. He remained in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. What a remarkable story of an encounter with God. Different people experiencing different facets of God and different. But here's the thing, and the first thing I want us to draw our attention, I haven't got a lot of time and I'm going to try and push through this, but the first verse that jumped to my mind is first, actually verse 1, that therefore, then the Lord instructed Moses, instructed Moses, come up here to me and bring along Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of Israel's elders. He was very specific in who he invited up on the mountain. Now, I wondered about that. Is it that God's got certain favorites? Has he got the blue-eyed boy, Moses, you're my man. Moses, you're the leader. Is there anything specific in this group of people that would fight or get the attention of God? I don't think it's something just because Moses had the rank and the, you know, Moses, I ask you. No, I think there's something different in this. And I found a scripture in 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9 that says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart are loyal, is loyal unto him." Think about that verse for a moment. Right now, at this moment, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, searching for our heart, searching for somebody whose heart is loyal unto him so that he can show himself strong unto him. I don't think it's coincidence that that Moses was picked and that Aaron was picked and that there were certain levels. There must have been something in their hearts that was attractive to God. I'm proposing to you this morning, is there something that we can show to God in our hearts that can get the God of the universe to stop and just say, come up here? The Bible says that Mary was chosen. When the angel came, the angel said to Mary, "Mary, you were chosen." That says to me there were other candidates. But there was something about the heart of that lady that got the attention of the God of the universe to stop things and to say, "I'm going to pick you. I'm going to send, almost want to send my son for you. I'm almost going to use you for that." There's something about our hearts that becomes beautiful to God the moment we become sold out, loyal unto God. And God says, "I'm ready to show myself strong on behalf of those who are loyal to me." See, our hunger for God, let me put it that way. What happens before our encounter confirms our hunger for God. You can tell me you've got encounter after encounter. I want to know this morning, are you hungry for God? Are you hungry? Are you desperate to see? See, as a pastor, and a couple of last year, we've been evaluating this, and we do the stats, and we, you know, from a pastoral perspective, we look at the congregation, we look, are we growing? Are we effective? Are we pleasing unto God? And then we started in our congregation noticing something strange. You know, we saw a dip in the number of people attending church. Now that, as a pastor, Philip will know, suddenly you start worrying, what's happening? And you start evaluating, what's wrong here? But the people never left church. They're just not attending church as regular, as always. Not offended. They're still there. You get them out there. It's great. It's nice. It's nice church. We love this. We love you, Pastor. So, you know, that you wrestle with God with that. And it was last month as we were attending our yearly conference and our summit, an interesting thing came out. The conclusion that we came to is that the same trend that we see there, just in our, you know, church and our congregation, we saw the same trend in the rest of our group. And the guy said, Yanko said exactly the same words. He said, people have not left church, they just attend church. Now, I know some people that are sitting here this morning, you're waiting for your to-do list and say, he's telling me to come to church more often. No, I'm not saying that. Just bear with me for a moment. In actual fact, if you read statistics, the other day I came up upon the Americans, they're good with statistics. And in America now, a regular church attender is somebody that attends church twice a month. Okay. So I'm not saying come to church more often. I just want to put out something there. What if next week, when you get up, and instead of telling yourself you're going to church, you reprogram yourself and just tell yourself, I'm going to meet with God. Just as simple as that. Would that perhaps change the way how often you would come, how you come, and how you leave? I think sometimes we just go to church and it becomes something, just the norm. And I want to get to that place of the God encounter. See, when I come to a place where I want to meet with God, I don't want to miss out on those encounters, because every time I encounter him, there's something that's happening inside of me. And I found if I miss out on those God encounters, it's not something duplicate. It's not something that can, oh, can I have it, by the way? Can I rewind it? Can we, this DSTV thing, you know, can we have it later? God works on his terms and conditions. And Moses would call up on the mountain on God's conditions. We'll see that a little bit later. I'm asking myself this morning, as the church of today become a place, and maybe the question lies in the scripture that we look at now, like a place where we've become satisfied with just coming and just coming and then experiencing and coming, rather than meeting with God, being transformed and not being the same. Every Sunday should be like that, you know. Every Sunday should be, wow, I can't meet God. Wait to meet with God. I cannot wait to be in his presence. Never mind all the believers that we have. Can I take this off? Is this okay? I was preaching in the north of our country, in a little village there, and it was very hot, so we went to the shorts. And I had a translator on the side here. And what happened to be is, it's a Tamara village, so this it goes like that while I'm preaching there. And then somewhere along the line, as he introduces me, I hear him saying, he's wearing shorts, don't worry, he's a pastor, you can receive from him. So I realized, make sure you dress well. Anyway, I never made that mistake again. About 2 weeks ago, you know, I just want to be vulnerable here with you, to share a word. He sat, and then we had a time with the Lord, and the Lord gave me this word. He said, Yahweh, the change that will not come through your words, through your lips. The change that will come through my presence. And it's a place that we have to embrace God's presence in our midst. So I'm not saying we shouldn't preach, we shouldn't share destiny and all of that. But if our words become more and are louder than God's presence, you know, it's about his presence. And I don't know if you've seen that, what Courtney Becker shared about coming and going into his presence and going, and there should be a balance, but that's a discussion for another day. Verse 1, the Lord invites Moses to that place, come up higher. And I sense that God is saying to many of us this morning, come up higher. A couple of weeks I preached on that scripture in Ezekiel about that river. Swim deeper. Come deeper. Come to that place where you just have to rely upon me, where you have to walk in faith, where you step outside the norm, where you have to rely upon me. You see, we can never climb higher than the level of our hunger. We can never climb higher up the mountain than the level of our hunger. Here's the thing. Let's jump to, I'm going to jump, skip a few scriptures here this morning, because I want to get through this. Verse 16, so Moses gets up on the mountain, he's invited, they prepare themselves to get up onto the mountain. And then in verse 16, something happens, and the glory of the Lord settled down in Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from inside the cloud. Okay, so we see the picture here. Moses gets up on the mountain, and for 6 days, nothing happens. It's a bad place for charismatics. It's bad. By that time, we would have had 10 words. You know, we couldn't keep quiet. We can't keep quiet. Think about that. Moses, just wait there. By day two, I'll probably check my word. Did I hear correctly, Lord? And here's the thing. God wanted Moses to get into his timing, on his term, onto his platform, onto his place. Sometimes we just have to wait there. Matthew Henry writes it this way. Let me put it this out there for you. Those that would have communion with God must not only come to ordinances, but they must abide by them. Blessed are those dwell in his house, Psalm 27 verse 4, that dwell in his house, that doesn't just abide. See, I found in the life where we live, and I know Swakop is, they call it slow town. If you ever go there, there's a coffee shop there, a roastery, got some of the best coffee in the world. It's called slow town. I remember when I came there, the guy sat me down, they said, listen, don't run too fast, this is a slow town. You know, ever since that, I've been fighting that. There's a holiday spirit in that place. But nevertheless, we live in an age and era where everything is about the microwave, where everything needs to be done, where it's about time, where it's about I can do something or I want something as quick as possible. And we come with that mentality into the church, and we bring that in our approach to God. We say, God, okay, you've got to move now, right now. Not 6 days, Lord, Maybe one day it's okay, Lord, but on day two, you got to move now. And I'm saying to us this morning, I guess what God is saying to us this morning, whenever we get up to that place, God, whenever we get into His presence, there's something more and deeper that's taking place. It's not about just the experience. I see people run from experience to experience, from conference to conference to conference. But I'm asking myself, are you being transformed in every conference or encounter? You know, we cannot have these, almost when I say these encounters, just as we're going on drugs almost, with all due respect. But what happens within that period of time when we encounter God is so important that we have to say to one another this morning that when or what happens during our encounter confirms eventually actually our understanding of God, how God broadens that. Isaiah 6, I'm not going to read that this morning, but here's the thing. Whenever we get into the presence of God, two things happen. Isaiah 6 gives us some insight into that. You probably know that story when the king Uzziah died. Uzziah appeared before the Lord, and the Bible says that there were seraphims and they were flying, and they said, "Holy, holy is the Lord." And what happened to Uzziah? At that moment, when he had an encounter with God, he realized, "Whoa, this is God. He's holy. He's just so massive. He's just so big." And then suddenly, at the same time, when he's realizing God's greatness, or he's overwhelmed by that, at the same time, the opposite happens. Woe is me. You know, I think when we get, and I love what C.S. always said, when we get into eternity, we'll just sit there and, "Oh God, not too much of you." That thing that happens is two opposites. At the same time, when we get into God's presence, we are overwhelmed with his greatness, his holiness, and whatever, his faithfulness, and we can carry on and on. There are no words to describe. By the way, the other day, a week ago, I got up in the Monday morning and I just sensed an urgency to pray. You know when you get to that place when words cannot do it for you? You pray and you pray and you realize, thank God for tongues. Thank God that I can just go over into tongues and just utter this. And the Bible talks about Romans, it talks about that, bringing that unto God. But nevertheless, I think we're going to stand in heaven like that. God, I cannot describe you, so I'll just have to do it in tongues right now, because my words are limited to describe the kind of God we serve. But at the same time, I realize who I am. The small, how little I am. You know, Paul talked about that. And we see that. The Apostle John talked about that. He must become more, and I must become less. Paul went from being the least of the apostles, and you've probably seen that as well, to the chief of sinners. The longer we walk with God, the more we get into his presence, the smaller we're supposed to become. Not professional encounter or professional conference goers, and we find our badge and we advance to the next level. It's a place where God does something in our hearts as we encounter him. Then Moses climbed up the mountain and the cloud covered him. Verse 15, the glory of the Lord settled down on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from inside the cloud. And then in the last verse, we jump to that. He remained on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. That's where the song came from. I don't know if you know that song, right? 40 days. Well, I can't sing, so I'm not going to go there. Okay. Imagine that for a moment. Moses has been in the presence of God for 40 days. And I've not been in the presence of God for 40 days continuously, face to face almost with God. And then that must have been, I don't want to say a honeymoon or holiday, I don't know how to describe that, but that must have been an amazing, 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 amazing time. You come out of that place on such a high up there, you know, I've just been in God's presence. I almost want to say I'm so holy, but you just feel so cleansed as a result of being in his presence, purified you and all of that. So then it comes down to this contrast. Remember, when we read earlier on, we will do everything the Lord said. They said it a couple of times. The encounter with God, they saw God, they ate in his presence. They said, we will do everything God said. Moses is the only one that goes up on the mountain to a next level. He spends 40 days, 40 nights with with God there, and it comes down to this terrible scene down there, chapter 32. You know the story about the golden calf. And I'm asking myself the question. They just been in the presence of God, maybe not the same intensity as Moses, and now they're building, they just forgot about what they saw and what they experienced. Is it possible, I'm just putting it out there this morning, is it possible that we can become so used to the presence of God that we do not honor Him for who He is anymore? We become, I know this is done this before, we've worshipped before like that. I've seen God, I've seen that word, I've seen that. It's almost in a way that we become familiar with the presence of God. And what I've found in my own life, and sometimes in those around me, is that familiarity with the presence of God breeds insensitivity. I become callous, I become insensitive, I do not sense the Holy Spirit because I do this too often. I don't regard Him as the God that's here. I don't honor Him for who He is here. You know, whenever God is there, we have to stop the bus literally and say, God is here with us. The other day, we had one of our other pastors visiting us, and then it's sad to say, so we advertised this weekend, and it's a healing, I always want to say a healing conference. So think, nevertheless, God's presence is there with us. There's a certain invitation that's taking place, and we have some person calling up and say, oh, who's coming? And the church office says, no, so and so. Oh, no, I've seen that before. I don't do that. Is this what it's now? Are we running after men? Okay, I know this one, I see this one. Are we not pursuing the presence of God, or have we become familiar with the presence of God? Because the familiarity with the presence of God not only breeds insensitivity, it nullifies the power of God in our lives. See, we can have encounters, but when we do not honor God for His presence, for who He is amongst us, it doesn't mean anything. Moses get down from the mountain. You look at the people there, and you know what? If it was me, I think I would have failed. I would have said, God, just finish it. Me and you, I'm happy, but just finish it. But Moses prays two prayers that are so significant that I've found that says something about the heart of Moses that took possibly place within, maybe it was there already, but I believe there was a deepening that took place in his heart. Exodus 33 verse 13, he prays this prayer. Can we get it up there maybe in scripture? He says, if it's true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so that I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people. The first thing, whenever we get into the presence of God, our prayer should change. And the first prayer, almost we want to say this morning to one another, if we don't want to go get to know God better in those encounters, I don't see the point of having an encounter with God, being drawn unto Him. Say, Lord, let me know your ways. Actually, if you read the rest of that, I think it's that scripture. There's more into that prayer. It's just so beautiful. You can read it yourself. I think there's verse 14 to 16. Look at this. He says, your presence amongst us sets our people and me apart from all our other people. And he carries on in verse 15. He says, you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. Moses embraced the presence of God. Moses knew he's nothing without the presence of God. And Moses yearns to that place. Lord, let me yearn. Let me know your ways. Let me get closer to you. This is after he came out of the mountain for 40 days. And then the second prayer, after you look at these people and God is, then Moses, let me just finish it here. Look at this prayer, Exodus 32, verse 11. Same with Abram did. But Moses tried to pacify the Lord his God. Oh Lord, he said, why are you so angry with your own people whom you brought from the land of Egypt with such great power and such a strong hand? Let me sum it up for you this morning. Our encounters with God are supposed to be two things. It's supposed to draw us closer to God. And it's supposed to draw us closer to these people. If that doesn't happen, or that's not the result of the encounters we have, I want us to check our encounters that we have. Because if we're not drawn closer to God, we're not drawn closer to these people, and if our prayers do not change the way we pray after we've encountered God, because prayer is actually just verifying, it's just confirming what happened here. And it's just an expression of the encounter, what we experienced. Maybe we should go back to that place and ask God to meet again with him. You know, in conclusion this morning, Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 3 verse 10, "Oh, that I may know him." Can I have the band up here? "Oh, that I may know him." And then he writes a script that's a favorite to me. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14. "For the love of Christ compels us." Think about that scripture. Actually, some translations use the word constrains. "For the love of Christ constrains us," or constrains me. I don't have a choice. It's the Greek word tsuniko. I hope I pronounce it correct. There are three primary definitions, but Chamberlain's, that's a medicine, dictionary, defines it this way. It forces motion in an unnatural way. That word compels. It forces motion in an unnatural way. Oh, I borrowed this from Philip. But we all know what this is. On its own, and let's just suppose this is connected to any appliance, on its own it means nothing. But if this is the source this morning, when this happens, all the molecules that's on this side gets pushed into this, and something happens on this end. I propose to you, whenever we get into the presence of God and we get plugged in, it forces motion in an unnatural way. I don't longer have a choice whether I'm going to do it, for the love of Christ compels me. I don't sit down having another 3-day fast and or have another prayer meeting because the urgency of life calls upon me. The love of Christ compels me to do that. And I'm not saying don't pray, and I'm not saying don't fast. I'm all for that. You know, but sometimes that is just, there's just a preparation. And whenever we meet, this happens. It forces you just to go. Last week, I'll end up with the story this morning. Last week after our service, one of our guys came to me, one of our businessmen, and said, "You know what, I just want to put it out there. I want you to know that I want to be accountable to you. But we're starting a church in that township where, and I'm going to start that. I know who's the pastor, and I'm going to put this and this there, and we're just starting that." And I'm like, okay, God, this guy is just, he's just going there. And I'm asking myself, should I stop him? Should I bring in all the what ifs? And I know we have to guide and have discussion of all of that, but I realize this guy just had a God encounter. The love of Christ is compelling him just to go there. Not to ask permission, but the love of Christ, I cannot but not reach out there. There's a story this morning that I want to end with. It's a guy called Dirk Willems. He's not Afrikaans. It's a Netherlands Anabaptist guy. I don't know if you know the story about this guy, but what happens, they were persecuted for their faith. So he got caught, he was thrown in prison, but he managed to escape one night over the prison wall. So he ran across a frozen lake. And as he was running across this lake, the guard was starting to chase him. But he was frozen into a thin layer of ice. And what happened to be, he was on his way, and then he heard the guard shouting. And when he turned around, the ice broke, and the guy was busy drowning. The guy that was about to chase him. And then something happened in that moment. He turned around. And bear in mind, this is freedom now what we're talking about here. He turned around, he put his hand out, and he pulled that guy out. There's a statue apparently there in Netherlands about this story. So what happened is, this guy wanted to let him go out of gratitude for his life, but the chief magistrate insisted that they arrest him and that he be brought before trial. They put him on the wood as they were about to light him up. And there were a crowd of people there, and they were looking at this. And before they almost say killed him, or they let him up there, somebody out of the crowd shouted something. And they asked him, "But why did you do that? Why did you turn around?" And he answered this. It was a reflex. It was a reflex. When the urgency of life meets us, we'll be faced with that. What's your reflexes?
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.